Good afternoon, everybody. It is indeed an honor to call the Winter Park City Commission to session here on January 12, 2015. Our own Jerry Warren is going to lead us in our invocation and pledge of allegiance. While we do that and stand, I've been reflective very much over the last few weeks on what a small world we really, really live in, and how the actions that have occurred in New York City and Paris impact even our park avenues. I think it would be appropriate to have a moment of silence for especially the police families who have been impacted both by the terrible assassinations which occurred in the police department in New York, as well as this horrible tragedy in Paris. I don't think there are any political statements to be made by that. I think the most important thing is that we grieve with those who grieve and mourn with those who mourn. So if you'd stand with me, we will have a moment of silence, and then Jerry will lead us in our invocation. Mr. Warren.
Almighty God, thank you very much for the abundant way in which you provide for our needs. In your word, you tell us not to worry about our needs, that you will provide for us even as you provide for the birds of the air. And Lord, we acknowledge the abundant way in which you meet our needs, and we have grateful hearts. Thank you for the new year, Lord. Thank you for the challenges and the opportunities that we will face. And I ask that you would guide us as staff and city commission as we work together to make this the best community in which to live, work, and play. I pray specifically for our agenda tonight that you would give our commissioners wisdom, that you would give them a sense of justice, and seek hungrily for what's in the best interest of this community. We ask your blessings upon the meeting, and we ask for your presence. It's in the name of Jesus I pray. Amen.
Amen.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America, and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Thank you. Thank you, Jerry, for all you do. Commissioner Cooper, unfortunately, will not be with us tonight. We've just gotten word that her father has become ill, and it appears she was going to be going to his bedside, which is the right thing to do today. So we'll want to remember her both in her travels along with her father's illness. I'd seek a motion to approve the agenda as presented, unless there's any changes from our city management. No, there aren't any. Motion to approve?
Second.
Thank you. I'm assuming Commissioner Mackin made the motion to approve. A silent motion to
silent
approve,
motion.
Sir, but I saw you mouth the words.
A wink and a nod, yes.
Commissioner Sprinkle seconded that. Any discussion? All in favor say aye. Aye. Opposed? Thank you. I have reappointments to the Civil Service Board, as well as two appointments to the Housing Authority Board. One of the wonderful things of having a resident become elected to the State House is that has opened up at least one position on one of our boards. So Mike Miller resigned, as you all know. He's now our state representative in Tallahassee. The first appointments, and they should be in your packet. Help me, Cindy. The reappointments to the Civil Service Board are, we ratify, and actually we don't have this in the packet, and the names which have been granted, I'm stretching my memory for. But both our police and our fire representatives each nominate, elect, and send somebody in, and ours is to ratify their nominations. And I did not write those down. I apologize.
Oh, crap. She didn't put it in here anyway. I know it was Ed Santos. Is that correct? And Todd Metters, I believe.
That's correct. Is that correct, gentlemen, from the Fire and Police Department? Thank you. And our Civil Service Board Chair is with us. So I believe they have served before, or are currently serving. Is that correct,
they are.
Gary? So they've been reelected to that. So Mr. Netters and Mr. Santos to serve on our Civil Service Board representing fire and police. I would make those appointments and thus move their appointment or reappointments to the Civil Service Board. Is there a second?
Second.
Thank you. Any discussion? All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? Thank you. To the Housing Authority Board, this was one of the positions where Mr. Miller served, Representative Miller, and now is an opening. I'm going to be appointing Kevin O'Raw, I hope I said that correctly, and Ms. and I hope I say this correctly, Swindell, or pardon me, Wendell, Shauna Wendell. I would move their appointments to the board. Is there a second?
Second.
Thank you. Further discussion? All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? Thank you. While I have the floor, I would like to call attention that I know was just sent out by our staff, that our fire department has been reaccredited. Chief and team, congratulations on that. This is very, very meaningful.
And this is actually an additional accreditation on the
so we got two accreditations just recently, in other words. So that makes it even bigger and better. And the last time I checked, there still are only, I think, three municipalities in the state of Florida whose police, fire, and parks department are accredited. This speaks incredibly highly, especially in my profession, and healthcare accreditation is all you don't really survive if you don't have accreditation. It isn't necessarily that way in our government work, but it speaks incredibly highly about the amount of self-work that's done and the introspection and the improvement that's made. So I certainly, for one, and I know our commission joins me in thanking all of our staff who made that possible. Congratulations. So did you hear that, folks?
Yeah.
That makes it even better. I think that might be something, Clarissa and Craig, when we send that out, we might want to resend that out. That speaks incredibly highly of our work. The other thing that I did want to note, I just received a letter from the governor. As you know, he was inaugurated last week, or took over his oath of office. Our own police chief, by the way, was on the platform for that. It was very exciting as the first vice president coming in for the state Police Chiefs Association. But Governor Scott appointed or appreciated last week our first Florida first responders, certainly for our police and fire. That is very, very meaningful, but declared the week of January 5 through 9 for them. And it's nice to know that our governor also appreciates all that our police and fire do. That concludes my mayor's report. We will go to the city manager's report. And Randy, before you take up the item A, why don't we see if there's any questions or anything on your regular report?
Sure.
Since this feels like this might be more of a discussion item. So are there any questions or specific issues for Mr. Knight?
Mr. Mayor,
Commissioner Mackin.
Randy, again, over the holiday, I think I was approached by numerous citizens with one question in mind, and I continue to say we're doing all we can do, and that is our railroad crossings. And if there was one issue that people stopped me, whether it was at a parade or at a concert or walking down Park Avenue, it was, and I guess my point is, I know we're talking to DOT on a regular basis. Mm-hmm. I don't know if are there other chips in Tallahassee that we need to be more aggressive with here or what? Because that was the one question I got. I mean, it was just, what are you doing about the railroad crossings? Commissioner
McMacken. Right.
I said, well, let me talk to my city manager and I'll find out. But that was it. And so I don't know if we can be pursuing this more aggressively or have a different plan of attack or something, but that was...
We will go to the top and work our way back the other direction. Maybe that'll help.
That's fair. Commissioner Sprinkle and then Commissioner Leary.
Have our lobbyists been involved in that at all, or have you asked them to intervene?
I have not asked our lobbyists to intervene. We've been working through our District 5.
Right. I'm just wondering if it wouldn't help if we kind of... Okay,
we'll do that.
Commissioner Leary. I think one of the things we probably all have heard a lot lately, too, is Saturday, Sunday, garbage on Park Avenue. And
yes, sir.
And I think we really need to. And then they will all write in. It's fantastic that Park Avenue is busy. It's fantastic that the company, you know, that it's never looked better and all these things. But Saturday and Sunday mornings doesn't look good sometimes. So
right.
How can we?
We have, effective last week, changed the schedule. So we have some parks workers working Saturday and Sunday, especially during these peak times. And we're going to be addressing several of those types of issues. We had a lot of other trash issues too, not just on Park Avenue, but with some of the dumpsters and some of the commercial establishments. So
okay.
We are addressing that.
Thank you.
You mean the answer is not call Randy?
The answer is always call Randy.
Call Commissioner McMacken. He's dealing with
I just give him Commissioner McMacken's phone number.
Randy, may I ask you a question?
Yes, sir.
If you could update us on the status of, I think we had two property potential acquisitions, a piece of property on Temple Trail as well as a piece of property on Lee Road. I don't know,
since we've
met, what's happened with those.
We closed last week on the property on Temple Trail.
Great.
And so that one is
so
done.
The bank accepted our reoffer,
yes,
or our second offer?
Yes, sir. We closed. We got the environmental report back today on the Lee Road property. That's all clear. We have some, survey.
The survey
has to be updated.
The 22nd's your deadline.
And so we're moving quickly. 22nd's our deadline on that.
Okay. So you'll just keep us posted on whatever we need to know with that. Great. I have no other questions. Did anybody else have questions of the city manager?
Just while we're bringing it up, the other question that I get rather often is, and I brought it up here before, and I don't know if we need more people to be concerned about it, but I heard this morning that two people were almost run over on Palmer once again for being in the middle of the street. And I know it's an issue as far as early morning joggers and bikers, and they tell me very specifically they can't see if they walk on the sidewalk because the street lights don't shine down there. So I don't know what we do about that. I just like us to, when people tell me that often, I just like us to come up with some solution to it.
Okay. Thank you.
Great. With that, Mr. Knight, we'll go to item 5A, discussion regarding the USPS property. And I might add, this is just a matter of discussion with the commission, so there will be no action, nor will there be any public comment taken.
Several months ago, of course, let me just go further back quickly. Property has been one the City Commission's had in its strategic plan to attempt to acquire for many, many years. And the mayor and I met with, through the help of Jim Huckab, our lobbyist, and Congressman Micah, with one of the representatives from the post office in D.C., who's the vice president of facilities, I think is his title. And he laid out a very specific program by which, if we want to acquire this property, we can do so. The property is technically not for sale. They're happy there. It's paid off. It's in a great location for them from being centralized for their carriers and all of that. So they're not looking to leave. So what they laid out for the city to do was to replace the carrier site. And for the first time, and going back to the days when we were looking to buy it, 6 or 7 years ago, however long it's been now, they refused to consolidate their carrier site with another location, and they wanted to keep the carrier site and the retail site together. So for the first time, they've agreed that they're willing to consolidate the Winter Park carrier site with either or both of the Metric site and the one out by Fashion Square Mall. And they're willing to separate the retail from that carrier site because they want to keep the retail in the downtown core. And so their requirements on us, and they gave me very specific square footages and all that, depending on which ones are consolidated. But they're somewhere within the triangle of downtown Winter Park, Metric Drive, which is out to our east off of University, and the Fashion Square Mall. Somewhere in that triangle, we would need to consolidate the two or all of the carrier sites. And we would have to replace that building for them as well as build them a retail site somewhere within the core. So that's the requirements we put on us. And then if the value of those two items don't at least equal the market value of the existing site, we'd have to make up the difference in cash, basically. Well, obviously, it is going to cost more to rebuild those other properties than is the value of this site. So there would be no extra cash payment under the scenario. I did find a piece of property out near the mall that the post office has agreed that site would work to consolidate the Winter Park site and the Fashion Square Mall site.
And Randy, there would normally be a contribution from the Postal Service to us on any overage. So building the new buildings costs more than the building. They're not pumping out.
That's right. They're not going to pay. That's right. They're not going to pay for the difference because that's correct. And the one thing I failed to mention was if the additional operating costs from them having to move
cost them more than today, then they would want some type of payment towards that. So those are the requirements that were laid out there. And so I spent the last several months looking for opportunities to see if this can work. I found a piece of property out by the mall, and post office has accepted that as a location, at least at for now. They got to go through a little bit more due diligence, but they believe it works, and they also believe there would be no additional operating cost at that location because they would be moving out of the existing carrier site that they're leasing out on Warehouse Road. And the savings from that lease going away offsets the extra overtime from having to drive from that mall site to Winter Park, you know, for the carrier services. The purpose of today is just to hear general thoughts from the commission and, you know, kind of get your nod that we want to keep putting meat on the bone and actually getting a number that I could bring back to you for consideration. I'd be glad to answer any questions you might have.
Questions of Mr. Knight? Commissioner Sprinkle?
Okay. My first question is, when we talked about this before I was on the commission, what was the purpose of us trying to purchase that property? What did we want to do with it?
My understanding from the commission at the various different meetings was that it was just to control our destiny on that site, to make sure we can control whatever happens there, whether it's parking lot, a municipal use, you know, such as a museum or a library or anything like that, but the city commission would control it and not a future post office selling it, you know.
To whoever the high bidder was.
To the high bidder.
Okay. Now, one thing we did do was rezone it.
Right.
Because it had been zoned in the 2000 range, mm-hmm. 2006 range, when there were a lot of different kinds of things happening. We rezoned it back to the way it was.
So it's only able, now it's only... you can only use it for park and or municipal purposes?
Right.
The
South Acre is zoned park, and the North Acre is zoned PQP, public, quasi-public.
Okay.
So without requesting that of us, they couldn't sell that as is.
That's right. They couldn't sell it with the assumption that it's going to get rezoned
to
C2.
Right.
Is that
so? Maybe they're not in the driver's seat as much as they think they are.
but they don't have to sell it.
Right.
I mean, you're right. I guess I'm looking to, since this is a discussion. I don't think it's ever going to fall in our lap for free.
No, I don't.
I just don't ever believe in my heart of hearts that somehow we're going to finagle through the post office. They would even write a first,
I agree.
If everyone wanted it, there's going to be money involved. I'm questioning, and I guess I'm turning to Randy and the city attorney. We rezoned it, but to me, that's someday it's going to wind up in a discussion before a judge.
Well, along with hundreds of other properties that were rezoned in the comprehensive plan.
Exactly.
Change
but I mean, just as we talk about this one, so, I mean, in my heart of hearts, I don't doubt that someday may, if the post office truly decided to unload it, that we may not be having this discussion.
Well, on this one, you're probably okay because no one new could possibly purchase the PQP parcel with a reasonable commercial expectation that they could do something different. You see, so I think actually you're okay because it's a post office use now. They can't complain to be PQP.
But if they, and just playing devil's advocate, I mean, if the post office came back and said, okay, in order to reduce our deficit, we want to sell this property, and going back and saying at one time it was zoned something else, and you as a city...
I really think you're okay.
Okay.
You've rezoned it to something that's reasonably and rationally related to the current use.
Okay.
I certainly think there could be an argument, the acre we made park, there could be an argument that needs to at least go back to PQP.
Agreed.
Because the entire thing was PQP before, and then we rezoned it to C2, I believe, back in 2006, as you said. And then we switched it back to half of it PQP, half of it park.
My thought process then is this, to me, is kind of like a library in the context that I would like to know what the end number is. Number's been batted around for
5, 6, 10 years about whether this building costs this much or this property costs that much. I'd at least like to get to a point, if we've found a piece of property, we've discussed operating costs, we've talked about land, we've talked about options, what's the number? I mean, before we ever act on this again, I'd like to really know what that is as opposed to...
I think Mr. Knight has that. I think right now the number is between $6.6 million and $8 million. I think if I add his numbers up, it's the replacements, the land, the building, as well as the replacement of a retail component. So I think we probably, you know, plus or minus $1 million have as good a price as, in terms of a hardened price, to your point.
And that's all I'm trying to say.
Than what we know.
I get tired of batting things around for a while. I'm just, you know, if we're going to make a business decision on this, I'd sure like to know what the...
When do we start putting our dollars to this, Randy?
Well, he's not going to do it. I don't want to speak for Randy, but he's not going to do it unless he gets three votes from y'all.
No, I understand, Mr. Mayor. That's my question. So next steps are, if we say let's continue to pursue it.
I would put a contingent offer in on the property to see if we can get it lower than the asking price. The piece of property I'm trying to get next to the mall. And that'd be the next step. Once the post office knows that is the site, they would want to start doing some preliminary design, but we wouldn't do that until the commission said, yes, we're moving forward. So to
Tom's point, I'm just going to accept the 6.6 to 8 million at this point as a working number. I don't know where we would get 6.6 or $8 million. That's my question.
Right. And to my...
Yeah. I mean, that would deplete our reserves right off.
Well, yeah, my proposal would be that we sell the Progress Point, you know, for that. In the past, I've talked with several of you about, would you trade Progress Point straight up for the post office property? And there seemed to be interest in doing that. This is just a little more convoluted way of doing the same thing. Now, whether we can sell Progress Point for $8 million, I don't know. The baseball stadium across the street appraised at $2 million an acre. At $2 million an acre, this would be about $7.8 million. Progress Point would be about $7.8 million. So, now, whether it will sell for that, I don't know.
I'm having a real hard time asking in my mind, we would have to bond that money. I don't want to use our reserves to pay $8 million max out. You think we wouldn't?
No, I'm not looking at that as my point, Commissioner, was really if we accept the $6 to $8 million number, I'm not going beyond quantifying that we've got that number. That's a hard number, and now what do you want to do with it?
It's just a lot of money for dirt, and we were
going to
spend it.
I mean, no, that's dirt. I'm not going any farther than I just want to know what the number is, so we can then start having the discussion, is that too much or not enough or whatever. But I just, if the number is the 6 to 8, then that's the number.
And we
feel confident that buys whatever buildings the post office needs, that gives us the property, that takes care of operating expenses for them and everything else. If that's all inclusive, then we have the number. And then
the question is, do we want to do that?
Yeah, but that's...
Do we want to spend $8 million of our taxpayers' money at Fashion Square to put something? I mean, that's what it looks like to me.
That's
pretty simple.
Yeah.
I'm not
having that discussion this evening because I wasn't prepared. I wanted to know what the number was.
I don't think it's as complicated as it appears. It's pretty straightforward. That's what it comes down to. And is that worth the acquisition of that property for civic purposes? I'll gladly weigh in on where my vote is. I say no. I say that if it was this versus, you know, some other building going there or something, if there was that threat, I would say by all means we're going to act. But I disagree with your point, Tom. I think that there will come a time, and it may not be for free, but I don't think the post office is going to continue to operate the way it operates today. And I'm just a betting man in this case. I don't know. Do you wait and then let them figure out they need to consolidate and save money on those kind of things, and then we're just having to build them a retail component instead of something else?
Half my question answered by the city attorney saying that he feels we're in a pretty good spot. I still
Well, to the mayor's point, I think it's almost like a couple of years ago, going back and buying real estate from Barnes & Noble. Who knows what their business model is going to look like in 30 years?
It feels like the point of this evening was not to vote whether or not we're going to do it. It was rather just to make sure that we had the right numbers in front of us. So when we do have that discussion, if we have that discussion in the future, we know what we're dealing with. And if the number, if we're confident that that's the number, then I think we have something to go forward if we ever want to talk about it again. Because we're not obviously voting on anything this evening. I think it was more exploratory. Do we have, on my part, do we have a number? And if that's the number,
to me, as your chair, I would say, and not speaking with Randy, but minimally, if you want Randy to continue negotiations, I think that there ought to be three to put it on a next agenda or upcoming agenda to give the city manager some sort of direction. I would say at this point, I mean, I don't want to speak for Randy, but I get the impression from what you've sent to us that you feel like you've done all you can do to this point to bring alternatives to us, and you need the will of this body to say, let's take it to the next level, or let's not, whatever. So I mean, that doesn't have to happen tonight. I mean, it could happen in our next meeting or whenever, but I think this will remain an open item on Randy's list of things to do until we tell him. I'm assuming you're not going to do any more work unless there's an affirmative action.
Right. I did have a conversation with someone today that might be interested in a trade where they would build all these buildings, you know, for the right to the Progress Point property. And so that might be worth exploring too, but
Randy, just a question. I'm assuming the numbers you came up with included the acquisition of land for them?
Yes, sir.
So that was land and whatever, I don't know what this is, but air-conditioned warehouse? I guess the post office isn't something.
Yes, and the post office gave me...
Where they take the letters and...
That's right. The post office gave me $160 a square foot is what it cost them to build their space. So that's what I use.
Probably fair for that type of space.
And then the property... the asking price on the property I've looked at is 1.7. I've, you know, tentatively offered 1.2, and you know, we're trying to work that out. But we know we could get it for 1.7.
Can we at least agree to discuss or to give any direction at our next?
I'm ambivalent on what y'all want to do with it, but I think for Randy's sake, if you want this to continue, I think the best thing to do would be to ask that it be placed on our agenda. And maybe we should place it on the agenda and vote it up or down anyway. Maybe that's the right thing to do. I don't know.
I'd like to at least get it on the agenda for the next time.
I'm happy to. I'm happy to.
Granting some clarity just to say.
I'm happy to say yes to an agenda item for them. So you have two. I'm looking for a third. But I see three.
I'd like it to get up. But my problem here is that it's not the price of what it costs. It's all the money that we would be out to another place that I'm struggling with.
Oh yeah, I have.
There's all kinds of hair on this. My deal is I just want to know if we have that.
I mean, if it was 7-Eleven today or something other than the U.S. Post Office, would you pay $1 million for 2 acres in Central Park? I don't know. You might have a different view of it, but this is obviously somewhat feels like a government like us. You know, I mean, I know the Post Office is not a government, but it's. Randy, I don't know if I could ask you. We can't be the only people in America facing this type of a situation. So I'm wondering if between our federal lobbyists and others that you couldn't explore what other things have been done throughout our country, even with a small Google search or something, to say, have other municipalities faced this? What do deals look like? To Mr. Brown's point, I mean, as fiduciaries of this city, I mean, can we pay $6 million for a property that's worth $2 million? I mean, you know, $6 million premium? I don't know how we would, you know, I think all of our citizens would love us for that. I don't think anybody would fight us for that, but I know I couldn't do that in my business, pay $8 million for something that's worth on the books $2 million.
Right.
It's intrinsic value at this point.
Well, I will say, it certainly the precedent is there for Winter Park. You know, we bought a golf course 20 years ago for $8 million with the restriction that it stay as a golf course.
Right.
And that was the
if you build on it, build condos on it price, but we, but it had that restriction. So we paid a premium for the golf course to keep that.
And this obviously is not a, I mean, this is this appraisal that we've been given, and I think it's been posted. If it, it came in our packets late, I know, but I'm assuming the staff or whoever posts things to our website will post this appraisal so that it's all in the sunshine.
Right.
But this appraisal is based on the current zoning.
That's correct.
It's not based on a something other than the current zoning.
Right.
It's also based on the building size of 26,000 square feet.
Right.
Is that the current building?
Yeah, something like that.
Now, you know, interestingly enough, if we let's just assume we did this. In theory, we have to have a 26,000 square foot building on that site. Nobody said we couldn't use it for something else. You know, library, add 10,000 to it, and we got 36,000 square feet. I mean, it might be a, you know, a quick way to get into the library business too. So, I mean, I think there's enough here to explore, you know, to explore the discussion. But
that's all we can do.
That's all we can do. So we have three to at least discuss. Okay.
Thank you.
Any other questions of Mr. Knight? Mr. Brown?
Nothing to report other than to supplement what Mr. Knight said on the Lee Road acquisition. As he stated, January 22nd is the expiration of the city's due diligence period. The only condition remaining is the survey, and I think that's on tap to be done, you know, sooner than the deadline. But I wanted to point out that the tenant and Clear Channel both had first rights of refusal. They both waived their first rights of refusal in writing. So as soon as we get the go-ahead on the survey, we'll be ready to close right after January.
But Clear Channel would keep their...
They're gonna
what
keep
do
their
they have, air rights now?
They have a billboard lease through 2020.
So that would go with the property? Does that go
That's
with
correct.
The property?
It does.
Yes, sir, it does. And there's revenue associated with that. And also... There are some problems associated with that. We don't need to get, I can talk to people individually offline. There may be some opportunities to perhaps take the billboard down sooner because of some of the issues with where the billboard is situated. We'll leave it at that.
Okay. Any comments or questions of the city attorney? There aren't any non-action items. I'm going to go to the consent agenda. And, folks, what I'm going to do is get through our consent agenda. I'm going to take citizen comments. And then I'm going to seek a motion that we adjourn until 5 o'clock, at which time I will take citizen comments again, and then we'll pick up the one thing that requires a public hearing at 5 o'clock. So that's my intention, unless the consent agenda requires the next 43 minutes. So I'm going to pull item 9D only because I'd love to just hear a little bit more about what 9D was, Jerry, the whole billing adjustments.
Mr. Mayor,
So we're going to have other things, but go ahead. Did you have anything?
I'd like to pull item 9B.
And 9B is pulled?
Yes,
so
please.
I would move the approval of item 9A and 9C. Is there a second?
I'll second.
Thank you. Commission discussion? Open the floor for public comment if citizens wish to speak to us about this matter. Seeing none, I'll close the floor for public comment. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? That passes. Mr. McMacken.
On the Mead Garden grant agreements, and I guess, Troy, are you going to? My only question is, and unfortunately, I didn't get a chance to open up the late package that came here. And I know that in the past we have approved a rather extensive master plan for Mead Gardens, which included a substantial amount of work in the area that we're going to apply this grant to. And I just wanted to make sure that anything that we were doing now was moving that master plan forward as far as the reuse of the lake there. I mean, that was that's really the basis of my question. It was unclear from what we had in there that, as we talked about boardwalk and whatnot, I just want to make sure that we're not spending money on something that 5 years from now we're going to... have to move.
So may I re-ask your question, and hopefully it's the same thing. We want to make sure this money goes for what we've already intended to be building there.
Yes,
is that
sir.
Correct?
Exactly.
That's. I appreciate you seeking clarification of it because that was my question. So
this is the master plan. The area where the work is going to take place is right here. and it's right behind the new amphitheater that was recently constructed. And so the master plan calls for this to be an otter pond, but it's basically more than just that. It's the restoration or the rehabilitation of the Lake Lillian wetland. And, you know,
Troy, that half acre that we're talking about is essentially located behind the...
Boy, Troy, we're getting double teamed here. Go ahead, Tom, and then I want to ask, if you don't mind, I'll interrupt you.
Yeah,
go ahead.
Where we're doing what on the side.
That's really helpful. The other picture you showed was kind of like when it's all done, but this is what this would do?
Correct.
Okay. That's very helpful.
So, the
half acre, this is the existing pavilion that was recently constructed. So all of this is wetland, mm-hmm. and the half acre to be excavated and deepened and replanted is right here, highlighted in the black.
So this would be a phase of the eventual
Correct.
Overall restoration.
Troy, that's what I was looking for, was just making sure that, yes, we were...
And then the boardwalk work is just to realign a little portion of it here, kind of realign.
Because it wasn't clear from what was initially in our packet, and again, I didn't get a chance to open up the supplemental stuff.
Yeah.
I
feel confident that what is being proposed here is part of the master plan. It is part of rehabbing Lake Lillian and the wetland. It'll provide a little bit more interest in that it'll have some open water back behind.
I know that's what we've been talking about.
Yeah.
Okay, great.
Yeah.
And Troy, I'm assuming that when it's restored, it'll be restored in such a way, because Lake Lillian has evolved into a wetland over 60 years or 70 years or something.
A lot longer than that.
But that whatever... I understand what nature does, but that this will try to be preserved by intention as a pond versus a wetland. Is that...
Yes.
I don't know what you physically do, but you don't let silt go in there or whatever. I mean, I don't know how over time Lake Lillian became a wetland, but it went from being a lake to being muck.
It's more of a vegetation, not so much a silt.
Vegetation we'll manage
grows,
that, in
dies,
other words.
Yeah, so with the areas that are created as open water in this phase will be managed to stay open water. And if we, if that means... harvesting out plants or...
We'll treat it that way.
Yes, correct.
But it will not be... the entire thing is not going to be a wide-open, pristine lake, if anybody's looking for that.
No.
So put up your second photo, please. This is what that project will do. That's the ultimate dream, right? Or the ultimate vision of what Lake Lillian restoration
yes.
will be like.
Yeah,
but we're just starting with a section of it.
Is about the size of my finger right there.
Yeah.
So my question is, this is the $400,000, right, we got from the legislature from the state of Florida last year.
Correct.
How much more do we need to make it look like that?
Millions.
We had estimated that to be between 3 and 4, I think, at one
yes.
point, Commissioner Sprinkle.
$3 and $4 million.
$3 and $4 million, I believe.
And so the way we're going about it is getting the funding anywhere we can from people that and doing smaller areas of it.
Yes.
Okay.
And this could actually be a good trial for us to try out this. You know, this method might work. You know, for here, maybe we come across a better method that we hadn't thought about. So when we get to the point of putting it out on the street, we will get contractors involved and they will come in and say, yeah, we can do it this way and this is how much it's going to cost. And, so maybe there's something out there that we are not aware of or, so it'll be a good test as to what is the cost, on a small pilot project.
Thank you.
Okay.
Will the commission on this matter?
I'd like to move for approval.
Thank you. Is there a second?
Second.
Thank you. I heard Commissioner Sprinkle. Commission discussion. Open the floor for public comment. Citizens wishing to speak about this matter with us are welcome to. Hearing none, I'll close the floor for public comment. You already vote. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Thank you. And thank our state government. Jerry, would you come forward, please? Because... color me needing to hear this one instead of see it.
Okay.
I'm supportive and appreciate what we've done since 2009 to go to the quarterly adjustment.
Right.
Could you explain, I guess, after reading all of the detail, and I know our board has reviewed it also, which always gives me more faith. Could you just kind of simply explain what this does for our citizens listening as well as your mayor who needs to have it explained to him?
I think the main thing that it does is it gives us a better ability to manage very wild swings in our fuel adjustment. If you look at the chart,
we've had wild swings in the last 6 months.
We've had very wild swings in the last. Actually, we have them every year. And part of the dilemma that we face in preparing the fuel adjustment is we rely on the fuel forecast given to us by our suppliers. They're not always right. Sometimes they feel like they need to be a little bit more conservative, but I rely on them. And so we take those forecasts, we crank it into the fuel adjustment, and it's a little bit of a crapshoot, I guess. We sat there in July, and we were sitting at a balance in our stabilization account of about $200,000. Boy, I'm going to tell you, as your electric utility director, sitting in the July time frame, we had just under-collected in the previous 3 months almost $600,000. And so I'm sitting here with just a minor amount of money in the stabilization fund, and if I continue to under-recover at that rate through the end of the fiscal year, then I end up back in the situation that we were in 2008, which is intolerable to me. And so we have no choice but to throw in a big true-up credit, which factor into our fuel adjustment, which is what we did. And so then we see August, September, October, November, and even into December, we're over-recovering. And so here we're sitting with $1,000,001 in that account. Our policy says that if it exceeds 5% of the annual budgeted amount in the fiscal year, which for this year is about $900,000, then I got to give it back. And what I know now, after doing this for several years, is that when we move into the fall of the year, temperatures come down, utilities peak loads come down, and so our fuel cost comes down per megawatt hour. And so if I had done nothing, you know, we'd have been okay probably, but I was petrified in the month of July because the balance was so low. And so here we are, we're getting ready to move into the time frame of the year in which fuel costs go up. And so, you know, I'm sitting here with my brain tells me, based on my experience, to crank in more fuel adjustment. If I have a bigger range of funds available to me in that stabilization fund, then it gives me more freedom to minimize the fluctuations. And that's all this is about. This is not about taking money from our customers. It's not about giving money back to our customers. Our basic objective is that in the fuel cost portion of our purchase power, that we're made whole. There's no markup. We don't make any money on it. And so, in a perfect world, I would start the beginning of the year with some amount of money in that stabilization account. I would end the year with the exact same dollar. If I did that, I would say I did a remarkable job. But, you know, weather vagaries, fuel cost variances make that pretty much impossible. So really all I'm saying is let's raise that magic number in our tariff sheet that says 5%. Let's change it to 10%. We will continue to keep our minimum eyes as a management team on the $500,000, but I'm going to manage it somewhere between $500,000 and $1.7 million if you accept my proposal, which probably means we're going to try to target about $1,000,001, and if it starts heading down towards the $500,000 level, we'll give it a little goose. If it's getting up too high in the $1.7 million range, then we'll come back down. And so that's one of the changes. The other change, which, you know, it's really important to me, is the words in the tariff sheet say that we're going to revise the fuel adjustment every quarter. Well, I didn't mean that. Nobody meant that. What we mean is that we would take a good hard look at it at least quarterly. Frankly, we do it every month.
But we have the opportunity to.
Yes, we have the opportunity to do it as frequently as we want.
And it's important to our bondholders in 2009 that we be able to adjust.
Absolutely. So that's the 25-cent version.
And that's very helpful. So I guess my biggest concern would be, and I pay two electrical bills in the city, one for a workplace and one for a home place, and it feels like the bills have been relatively stable
They have been.
And I know that when they do change, it's often because of this. I wouldn't want, because of this action, that suddenly our citizen customers are seeing more wild fluctuations in their bills.
I think at the end of the day, our customers will continue to have competitive rates, and actually the fuel adjustment for January, February, March is a reduction, a fairly significant reduction in our bills. And we know that, and we're proud of that. But this will give us a tool to try to minimize the fluctuation. So as someone that pays two power bills, my hope, my expectation is that you will see more stability in the fuel adjustment rate.
That's the most important thing. And then as somebody who's very concerned about our city's utilities finances, we don't want to be in the place we were 5 or 6 years ago where people you're dangerously low on cash, you're dangerously low in your situation. Right. You need to be better with that. I'm going to move what's been presented to us. Is there a second?
Second.
Thank you. Commission discussion or questions adjourned?
No, sir.
Open the floor for public comment if citizens wish to speak to us about this matter. Seeing none, I'll close the floor for public comment. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? Thank you. I'm going to open the floor for public comment, give citizens an opportunity to comment to us about any items that are not coming forward on our agenda. And then I will reopen that. If you take your chance now, I don't think you probably should get a second chance, but I'm open to. We're all going to get through this pretty quickly. So if anybody wants to comment to us now, the floor is open for citizen comments. I will reopen the floor again at 5 o'clock. Okay, seeing none, I'll close the floor for public comment. By the will of the commission, may I adjourn then until 4:59?
Yes, sir.
Okay, thank you so much. We'll sit adjourned until 4:59. Call our commission meeting back to order at 4:59. With the 5 o'clock hour, I will reopen the floor for citizen comments. Any citizens wishing to speak to us about matters that are not on our agenda are welcome to do so at this time. Upon the conclusion of our citizen comments, we'll take up our public hearing item, which is item 11A, and then we'll go to commissioner comments and we'll adjourn. So any citizens wishing to speak to us about matters that are not on our agenda? I showed at 5 o'clock. Mr. Knight, I guess we were sent something that you'll address.
Yeah, I'm addressing that. She was going to speak. But
a citizen's comment about some damage from a truck or something, so you'll address that on behalf. Great. Okay. Well, you're welcome to speak if you'd like to, but it'll be addressed, I think. No problems. Sorry that you had to have damage. Okay, any other citizen comments? Okay, let's close the citizen comment section. I'm going to go to item 11A. Ms. Brown, I'd like to have a simultaneous public hearing on the first reading of the two ordinances that are mentioned before, so if you could read them into the record, I would appreciate that.
Well, Mayor, I think there's a decision that needs to be made. Maybe Mr. Briggs. I think the City Commission has to determine, if I understand the agenda item correctly, if you want the rental car agencies to be a permitted use or a conditional use.
So it's either or, but if you'll read both titles.
I can read both, and it'll be an either or, though. They're not both going to be adopted.
Well, I'm just going by our agenda, and our agenda doesn't have an either or on this. Maybe that's how the agenda should have been written from staff, but why don't you read them both in, and then we will decide which one we want, but then they're both in the record.
Yes, sir. An ordinance of the City of Winter Park, Florida, amending Chapter 58, Land Development Regulations, Article 3, Zoning, Section 58-74, Commercial C1 District, so as to add car rental agencies to the list of conditional uses, providing for conflict severability codification and an effective date. And the second ordinance, an ordinance of the City of Winter Park, Florida, amending Chapter 58, Land Development Regulations, Article 3, Zoning, Section 58-74, Commercial C1 District, so as to add car rental agencies to the list of permitted uses, providing for conflict severability, codification, and an effective date.
Mr. Briggs.
Sorry to make everyone wait, but Chapter 166 of the Florida statute says if we're going to change the list of permitted or conditional uses, we have to have a public hearing after 5 o'clock. And our context is that Avis Budget is at the Mount Vernon Inn, and they have to leave, and they found a new location that works perfect for them at the Kmart Shopping Center up on the Lee Road side on the corner, so that the cars can be parked off to the side down the rear of the shopping center, down Executive. But our zoning from 1971 doesn't allow car rental in the C1 shopping center. It only allows it in the general commercial C3. For example, we see Enterprise, a rental car there on Fairbanks. And I think that was because in the old days they didn't want car repair or car sales from shopping centers. But this seems like a use that would fit into the shopping center without any problem. Really the only discussion at P&Z, because note that we do have the limitation of no more than 15 cars. So the only discussion at P&Z was, should we do this as a permitted use as it was advertised, which was the one ordinance, or should we do it as a conditional use, case by case, have folks come and apply? And that's your recommendation from P&Z, to do it as a conditional use. The reason that these businesses fit in fine in that context is because while there's a lot of cars there in the morning, they are rented and gone during the day when the other stores are being used, and then they're returned at night. So the times of the day when the peak number of cars are on site are not the times when the stores are the most active. So with that, you have that recommendation from P&Z to go forward as a conditional use.
So depending on what action, does this also impact you? I mean, will then they have to come back and ask for this if we approve this in either way?
And so at the second reading, the second reading will grant the conditional use.
Thank you. I just have an observatory question. Hertz was in the little plaza by the steakhouse that's on the corner of, right next to Wawa?
Fleming's.
Mm-hmm. So was that in C3?
Yeah.
Is that C3 versus
C1?
Okay. Thank you. I mean, I have no issues with this. I'm gonna move the conditional use. Is there a second?
I'll second.
Thank you. Commission discussion?
Jeff, if we do the conditional use, that's my question.
So anybody else who wants to do this has to come back and go through the process.
But they can ask for it.
They can ask for it, yeah. And my concern, if we had gone the other way, was the number of cars, because there are, in some cases, and some of the places where we have restaurant rows in commercial things, and yes, they're busy at night as well. This is applicable for this spot. It works very well here, and I have no problem with that. But this parking part, yeah.
I'm not going to do it here, but I'd go so far as to say C3 should be a conditional use, too. I mean, I'd go so far as to make all of our commercial codes that way. I mean, it seemed like it should be able to be asked for,
mm-hmm.
but I don't know why it would be permitted in C3 and conditional in C1. If I was going to be consistent, I would do it either one way or not the other way. I like the conditional use in this case, personally.
I do as well. So.
I do, too.
So that's something to contemplate. Ms. Brown, so that we're clear and that you're clear, I'm not sure which of these ordinances, since they read the exact same way, it would be the second one that I've moved. So ordinance amending Chapter 58, Land Development Code, Article 3, Zoning, Section 58-74, Commercial C1 District, provide for car rental agencies as a conditional use within a C1 zoning commercial district.
The one that says conditional uses in the title.
Mr. Brown, could I amend that to include C2 and C3 in the ordinance and take care of this with one fatal swoop and make it all conditional use?
I think that you'd have to come back.
But would I have to notice
first,
that?
You'd have to come back for first reading.
Okay, well, I'm not going to do that then. That's just something to deal with at a different time.
You could direct staff to come back.
I think we've... I'm ambivalent, but I think that sounds like if it's... I mean, since it is a permitted use in C3, it would be a taking if we didn't have a reading on that.
Okay.
Yeah, that's fair. That's fair. That's fair. Very fair. Okay, there's a motion and a second, and forgive my memory. Did you second it? Commissioner Sprinkle, thank you. So motion and a second. Commission discussion? Open the floor for public comment. Citizens are wishing to speak to us. Did you want to speak to it as a request, as the request door?
Yes.
Okay, you're granted whatever time you would like to have.
Okay. Thank you, Commissioners. We appreciate the opportunity to...
If you'd identify yourself for the record, please, we would appreciate that.
Paul Chipock with the law firm of Gray Robinson, 301 East Pine Street, Orlando, Florida, representing the applicant Avis Budget in this case. We agree with the staff recommendation. Conditional use is fine. If there's any questions, we're here to answer them. Thank you.
Yeah, I don't think there are any at this point, but you're certainly willing, if there's anyone that speaks, we'll give you opportunity to rebut if you'd like to do that.
Thank you.
Okay, applicant has spoken. Any citizens wishing to speak to us about this matter? I see none. I'll close the floor for public comment then. Did you have anything else you want to add?
I look forward to the second public.
Great.
We look forward to the second public hearing and the approval of the conditional use, because we need to move forward with our permitting so we can get into our new facility by about mid-March. That's our deadline, because the wrecking ball is coming in April for the for our present location.
Thank you. Unless there's further commission discussion, I'll ask the clerk to read the roll on the first reading of the ordinance.
Commissioner Leary?
Yes.
Commissioner Sprinkle?
Yes.
Commissioner McMackin?
Yes.
Mayor Bradley?
Yes. That concludes our business session. The other item has been tabled per the applicant to February 23rd. And the other ordinance, I guess, will die a silent death, Mr. Brown?
Right.
Yes, there's been no action taken on it. Doesn't appear to be that there would need to be an action taken on it.
That's correct.
So our agenda in our next meeting will show that there's only one second reading then.
Right.
With that, I'm going to go to Commissioner Leary.
None, sir.
Commissioner Sprinkle.
Well, I just wanted, perhaps you'll speak to your address on Friday.
Well,
I'm going to ask you to do that.
Well,
I'm sure
ahead,
you would
go ahead
anyway.
And speak to the joy that Friday is for all of us.
I want you to speak to what you're going
happily,
to be doing.
Okay.
And then I did have one question that came up, or actually there's two more issues that citizens have come to me about. One of them was about a report that was in the paper that mentioned something about the economic development report, which we have not seen as a commission. It's apparently gone to the committee. But there was something in the paper that apparently brought a lot of people some concern about us working towards a 50-50 housing versus business. I read it. It was there. But that doesn't, I mean, I know it was the paper wrote it and you didn't write it. But is there an economic development report that's coming to us? And we need to clarify for our citizens that we have not, that's not an action that we did, okay?
Our Economic Development Advisory Board has been looking at the next 3 years. In 2009, they adopted a three-year plan. They have been looking at the next three-year plan. So before they want to get that all polished up before you get it. One of the objectives that they're looking at is to continue to try to move the needle slowly of the commercial residential balance. And that's something that you all have talked about in your strategic planning as well. So certainly the ability to have the non-residential sector help support the residential sector is something that the city has been working toward in the last 5 years that I've been here. There may have been a conversation about a 50-50. The ability to get to a 50% commercial, 50% residential would mean that we would probably have to annex communities around us to be able to do that because
and
of the size.
And we haven't ever asked for
that. You have not asked for that, and that is not something that anyone has asked for. It may have been a passing comment in the meeting. I'll be honest, I don't believe the existing plan that I've seen has anything in there about that. But what it does have is it does have moving the needle a little bit with regard to looking at the non-residential sector being able to help support the residential sector when it comes to tax base and revenue. So that would be the issue. And no, you have not seen that report yet.
And as I recall, when we had our visioning session that we did maybe 3 years ago, we discussed an 80-20 mix moving to a 70-30 mix. We never talked 50-50. And I just need for people to understand from our standpoint, because when it gets covered and people come to me and say, when did you all decide that? I'm going, we didn't decide that. So I don't
correct
know where it came from. I'm just bringing back something that's come to me. So that's one. The other one is, what is the mechanism in place today for communities, and I've brought this to you before, for traffic calming, like the people over on Garden who are looking at mechanisms to keep people from using cut-through traffic? Because obviously you don't cut through over by Lake Fairview anymore because there's a lot of stop signs. So somebody did a good job of making sure nobody cuts through there. So how does that happen, and how does that work in our community?
A neighborhood can submit a request to the Public Works Department. Troy and Butch look at it, and it depends on what they're asking.
Right.
You know, we have
we have experimented over the years with numerous different type of traffic calming devices, most of which are not very effective, ranging from,
speed
bump outs and, splitter islands and speed bumps and all that. Brick streets is the most effective traffic calming we've ever found, and then 50% of the people hate brick streets. So that's also a challenge. But what we try to do in those situations is go then, it seems to be a critical mass of people on that street that want some type of traffic calming device, we will survey that neighborhood, because what we normally find is more people don't want it on that street than the three or four people complaining about it.
So send them to Troy?
Yeah, we send them to Troy.
Well, I the reason I say that is because the Garden Drive area has just gotten a lot of attention because of what was going on over there. So that's an issue for them right now. I don't know how serious it is. I just want somebody to be able to hear them and see if there's any solutions.
Yes.
Thanks.
Yep.
That's it.
Commissioner Mackin.
Just a real quick feel-good thing. Over the weekend, I had a senior moment and lost my phone and my checkbook. And I was
you lost your phone and your checkbook?
And my checkbook.
No, your checkbook.
No,
I thought you got a big checkbook.
And I managed to find my phone about a mile away from my house on the street. But I couldn't find my checkbook. And as I was returning home with my busted up phone that had been run over several times, there was a couple at my front door returning my checkbook.
God bless
them. And there are good people out there, and that was really, they had actually tracked me down, and I really admitted that, yes, I'm getting old, but that was, there are still good people in this world, and I really appreciated that.
Well said.
That's great.
That's all I have.
Thank you, Commissioner. I have three items. One, as Commissioner Sprinkle mentioned, this Friday is our State of the City luncheon, which we have the opportunity to honor our Police Officer of the Year, our Firefighter Officer of the Year, and our staff member of the year. It's a very, very special time for our city. I understand in concert with our chamber, it's already sold out. So tickets are available, I guess, wherever you buy tickets. Ticketmaster. That may be illegal. But I was going to say that, but they're at the door. So very, very exciting. And I will also have the opportunity to reflect upon the city in our annual State of the City address. So it'll be a good time, and it's truly a highlight of our year as we recognize our staff. I think it's important for us to note, as we look at our SunRail ridership now that they have extended hours, I think it might be interesting to see if that's impacted our community in any way, shape, or form. It might be something for us to continue to track. As I serve on a Metro Plan Municipal Advisory Committee, I know we see those monthly boardings, and Winter Park remains about the top two or three boarding and deboarding, or would it? Teacher, what would you do when you get off the train?
Yeah.
Embarking and whatever. Disembarking. So, and having those numbers being available to us might be something that we may want to post.
I'm simple. I get on and I get off.
The other thing that has happened with this Metro Plan Board is the Municipal Advisory Committee, which is a subcommittee but advisory of the Metro Plan Board, is made up of all of the municipalities that do not have representation on the big Metro Plan Board.
Okay.
Previously, for example, the first and second largest cities in Orange County had been represented.
Okay.
City of Winter Park, up until probably the last 10 years or so ago, was fully represented on the Metro Plan Board, but when Apopka became a bigger city, the standing mayor of Apopka now serves on that board. So the Metro Plan Board is made up of 19 members, county people, in addition to subgroups such as the Airport Authority for both the Sanford-Orlando Airport along with Orlando Airport, etc. Our Metro Plan Advisory Committee, of which I now chair but also have served on for these last 6 years as your mayor, has been lobbying actively to get a voting seat on the Metro Plan Board. Why this is important to us is because it gives us a direct voice along with some other municipalities in being able to have access to not just funding but the prioritization and other things of that. That was granted in our December meeting, but with that comes a funding request that our Metro Plan Advisory Committee this last week reviewed, and I'll be sending those to Mr. Knight. There also will be a ultimately some sort of an interlocal agreement between the City of Winter Park and the Metro Plan Agency to fund that. And so that you understand the magnitude of this request, it is somewhere, it will be in the neighborhood of, right now I think we have it at 8 cents per capita. So that's 8 cents times, well, let's say there's 30,000, there isn't today in Winter Park, but that's $2,400 to join the Metro Plan Board or to have a direct representative. It would be the best $2,400 we ever spent to have our Metro Plan that. Whoever, and just so happens, I sit as the chairperson of that, obviously won't be doing that as of March 23rd, but to be able to have that kind of input, I think is really, really important. So Metroplan is an important agency in our community. It does say grace over a lot of prioritization of transportation funding, and I believe that the, you know, all of our municipal groups together represent 307,000 citizens, which to me I think is more than both Seminole and Osceola counties themselves. So, and that's from the City of Eatonville to the Village of Edgewood to, or whatever our hamlets that we have, 16 of us. So that will be coming to us. It may be coming even after I'm no longer on the board, but Randy will be the conduit, I think, with Metroplan with that. But that would be when it does come that I would seek both your support and approval for, and think it's ultimately, because it also says grace over funding like for trails, for bike paths, for roads, for a lot of different things. So, yeah, it was a very, very interesting, it was a very, very interesting discussion, needless to say. He who has the gold makes the rules. Yes. So,
or we used to say, he who has the money wins.
so to be welcomed by this group was a split decision by others. It was not unanimous. And it was interesting, those cities who were against us and those counties who were against their municipalities being involved. Needless to say, I'm glad I live in Orange County, and I'm glad I live in the City of Winter Park. We have a very functional working relationship with our county. Yes, sir.
I just have one more thing.
By all means.
It's completely off subject. Are you?
I'm done.
I think the only it's been a while since we've gotten together, but the Battle of the Bands.
That was so much fun.
Wasn't that a spring? And it was fun to see.
You were great.
It was just another great event in the city. Mm-hmm. And it was really cool. It was in the midst of it, Chief. Your guys coming to revive one of the band leaders who had actually collapsed. His blood sugar was extremely low. And it was cool to just see the community come together. And I don't think half the people knew what happened.
No.
But the guy was on stage.
I was on stage and didn't know what happened. Yeah. You all attended to him. So,
yeah. it was just kind of, we had the best of both worlds coming together there. We had emergency services come in and help really get this guy up and right. And just another great event in the city for the citizens.
It was cool. Very good.
Well said. With that, I don't think there's anything more to come to the good of our order. Anything else you all like to say?
No,
then
sir,
I will call us adjourned by sitting. You all have a
wonderful
evening. Thank you.